Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Hello.
I'm home. Heil, honey.
Heil, honey.
Smile, honey. Because I'm home. Gee, it's great to be Top Gun, but it's nothing like the fun that I get when I say, Heil, honey, I am home.
Hello, my media masochists. Welcome to the worst show on Earth. A podcast where my friends and I spelunk the bowels of television hell in an effort to discover just what series is the absolute worst. I'm Matt Murphy, and I'm a different person than I was a couple of hours ago. With me is Alex Humphrey, who may have a different opinion on being a garbage media enthusiast than she once did.
Yes, I believe that I am still the same person, but more disappointed in humanity.
Wow. Yeah, that sums it up for me, too. And we also have Tachi, the human IMDb. Tachi normally has a standing agreement that you shouldn't judge a piece of media until you've experienced it. Tachi, have tonight's viewings changed your mind in any way?
Not at all. I experienced it, and I've had a little taste of hell. Thank you.
You're welcome, maybe. Normally, we have a fourth co-host in Rachel Bieber. But unfortunately, she could not join us for this recording. As such, our programming has changed, and we did not watch Cavemen, as our last pod said we would, did we?
No, we had a very special episode, the Shit Rachel Wouldn't Watch Because It Was Too Gross episode.
Yep. We watched 2 half-hour comedies that Rachel had flat out refused to watch because she has standards.
I thought that our show was about lack of standards.
Well, her standards are more like inhumanity.
In fairness, I barely managed to make it through the Brothers Grunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had the best night of us all.
We watched 2 shows. The first was Heil, Honey, I'm Home.
You might have misheard that, actually. You might have heard Hi, Honey, or Hail, Honey, but Heil, like Heil. Hitler.
Heil, Honey, I'm Home. Not to be confused with a different sitcom called Hi, Honey, I'm Home, which is about a sitcom family that moves next door to a real family and has like a magic remote that takes them back into black and white times.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, that sounds like more of a concept than Heil, Honey, I'm Home.
But this is about Hitler.
Rachel had vetoed this. The fact that she's not here, it's given me that feeling like when your parents are gone, so you misbehave. I feel like we misbehaved because Rachel wasn't here.
But not in the, like, sexy way, where, like, you do something and learn about being an adult or something. No, like, in the shameful way.
Right.
It's in the stick a fork in the power outlet sort of way.
I was thinking more like find something distasteful to masturbate over.
Oh, like when you pushed the AB button to get that hidden porn channel. Nobody remembers the AB button anymore.
Yeah, the AB button is gone. Replaced by TikTok. The other show was called The Brothers Grunt. We'll get to that.
Can I say, coming into this, I expected to hate The Brothers Grunt more because I'd seen a trailer for it, and without spoiling too much, it's just farts.
Farts?
It's fart sounds and alarms.
Well, there's also whatever the visual form of a fart is.
You're not being vulgar and disgusting enough. The word fart is like a shining scrubbing bubbles commercial compared to what The Brothers Grunt is. But we'll get to that.
I was going to say the second half of my thought there was, I however found Heil, Honey, I'm Home more unpleasant.
It was, what's the word?
Evil.
Subversive. In like the worst, in the truest, most against society kind of way. Because there's like the cool subversive where it's like, the tropes are inverted. And then there's this, which is basically Nazi propaganda.
So, well, the show that I thought of to give an example of what I think you mean by smarter subversive, I thought of That's My Bush for a moment.
Ah, yes. I wanted to ask you about That's My Bush. Yeah.
For those who don't remember, That's My Bush was from the creators of South Park. They said they hated sitcoms, so they wanted to do one. and it was all about poking fun at the tropes and the cheesiness and the horrible laugh track, and it was about Bush right when he was elected.
George W.
Jr.
Yes. They were actually already developing the show before the election. They had plans for if either Gore or Bush won. So the whole point of That's My Bush was that it's a bad sitcom, but that kind of made it funny. It was smart, stupid.
Let me set up Heil Honey for them for a sec. Yes. Because you may not be thinking generic sitcom enough. So this takes place in Berlin, New York.
It's funny when you say it out loud.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it's actually kind of funny. 1938.
Uh-huh. And they all have New York accents.
Yes, every character has an obnoxious Brooklyn.
And Hitler and his wife live next door to the, what are their names?
Goldensteins.
Goldensteins.
The Goldensteins. They're nosy, nosy Jewish neighbors.
Who have an all-gold motifed apartment.
Yeah, we'll get to them. And they have shenanigans together. In this episode, for instance, Neville Chamberlain comes to visit and is a total pushover. And that's pretty much all you need to know about the show. On the American airing, it had an animated opening.
There was no American airing.
Oh, there was
no? I have no idea where that animated intro came from. Weird. It must have been promotional material that they had done for future episodes.
Why would they promote that?
Well, that's just a thing you do when you have a new show. You have to promote it. You have to at least show somebody something about it.
No. When the studio knows that they have a bomb, you bury that bomb.
Oh my goodness. I just remembered that, like, Netflix wasn't confident about Stranger Things, and they didn't market it very much. They were kind of burying it. And that show, smash bang hit, Heil Honey, I'm Home was marketed.
Heil Honey, I'm Home was marketed. So to give some background on like the genesis of this, according to Wikipedia, the only episode that ever aired was on September 30th, 1990.
That shocked me. Because yes. It looks like a sitcom from the 50s.
I wouldn't go that far.
60s? It's,
no. Maybe the 80s.
Oh, I think it looked worse in the 80s.
I'm going 70s because that feels fair at this point.
So it was on the now defunct Galaxy Channel on the UK, which was part of the British Satellite Broadcasting Company. So the channel itself lasted less than a year. The whole damn channel.
Wow.
And it was later merged into what is now Sky News, which is still extant and still going on. The executive producer was a guy named Jeff Atkinson. And he was not blacklisted in any way for this.
It was a different time. 1990.
His latest IMDb credit is actually from 2016.
Really? What was it?
I don't fucking know. I don't care. I didn't care. It was just it's some British named show. They all have weird names, like Tuning In with Nigel Bumingham or whatever.
So, can I talk about what made this show so awful?
Yes.
So this is a generic sitcom in the most generic sense. Unlike That's My Bush that kind of made fun of sitcom conventions, this one just does them.
It just is a generic sitcom.
It has, like, two abusive relationships, husband-wife couples who, like, hate each other and insult each other, but I guess kind of love each other. However, as a standard sitcom, Hitler, our main character, is kind of like the lovable scamp. Like, he's not a great guy, but he's making it work, and he, like, really wants to conquer Poland. This is, like, one of the few political nods the show has. Because occasionally it will remind you it's Hitler waging genocide on you.
Yeah.
But it generally stays away from that. And his neighbors, his Jewish neighbors, are, like, the more awful couple. So they're just terrible people.
I don't know about Rosa. Rosa, I think, she's just a little gossipy. I don't know if she's bad. Her husband, Arnie.
He is Archie Bunker.
He is a worse person than Hitler in the context of the show.
Oh, yeah.
When Hitler first arrives, and the first line of the show is, Heil, honey, I'm home.
And then laugh track. No, applause. Claps. I'm sorry, applause.
And I was just like, fuck you, show.
Oh, that was surreal.
It was disgusting. It made my soul, like, convulse.
I thought that enough time had passed that I could watch this happen and not be, like, hurt spiritually. But the second they applauded for Hitler's arrival, like, it was like a psychic attack.
Yeah.
I don't, like, even if there isn't, like, a dark agenda, I can see it just being the juvenile first attempt at a joke. Like, okay, guys, what if we had a family sitcom, but the twist is it's Hitler, and that is the whole... I can see that happening in a room, in a pitch room.
Well, it's literally a Family Guy joke. They talk about... Yeah. There's a joke in Family Guy where I think Peter just says, like, well, what if no one ever died? And then it cuts to today on the Hitler talk show.
Right.
And, like, Hitler has Richard Gere show him his butt. But this is a whole other thing. So the basic plot...
Point of order, he had Christian Slater show his butt.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm glad I came across that.
That's why you're here, human IMDb. I'm sorry I stole your thunder with factoids about Jeff Atkinson. The plot is that Hitler's in a little trouble in the international community, and Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, is going to come over and give him a stern talking to.
Yes, this is the classic, we have a guest coming over sitcom press. Mm.
And so they can't let those Goldensteins know.
They'll ruin everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ava and Ava, Hitler's wife, of course.
Well, they're, point of order, they're not married and never were. They just live in sin. That's a historical fact.
That is true, yes.
But Rosa and Arnie are married with a bird and a niece.
Oh, right. This is one of those moments that made me truly appalled, because there's this subplot where their niece is visiting, and they, like, she hasn't dated, and she's 23, and she comes in, and she is what, to the modern audience, is very clearly autistic. Textbook.
Yes.
All the mannerisms are there. It is like every coding a TV show would use to say autistic in a character, she hits.
Mm.
And it is... absolutely the butt of the joke. She is utterly the butt of the joke.
It is very sad.
It is appalling. It's punching down about as far as you can punch down.
Well, the only thing that would make it worse is if Arnie were to make jokes about, you know, how life would be easier if she just died or something.
I was getting to that, because they spend a scene talking about killing her.
This is real.
It was in that scene that I, A, broke into hysterics.
Oh, right.
Because this show absolutely broke me. And B, realized that this show was evil. Because it is so normalizing.
Yes.
To appalling behavior. It was Hitler making, like, sexual references, because sexy Hitler is unacceptable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We haven't mentioned hoochie coochie magic.
See, I don't even think the hoochie coochie magic is that great. What I was repulsed by physically was when he's like, here comes the tickle monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he brushes Ava Braun with his weird Hitler mustache on the neck. Oh, God, I'm sorry I even said that. I'm sorry I put that in your ears, listeners. That is repulsive.
All right, we need to get through this and pass this.
So
yeah, we got another show to...
we got another show to talk about. So, Hitler gives Ava Braun explicit instructions not to tell that nosy Rosa Goldenstein about Neville Chamberlain coming. So what happens is that she comes in and Ava Braun basically tells her.
But through
charades. It's really weird. So apparently...
it's just generic is what it is. It's just a sitcom. There's nothing relevant. They abandon the fucking German food jokes by the second food reference.
Yeah. She talks about making meatloaf for Neville Chamberlain.
And chocolate chip cookies.
She could have said Black Forest cake.
Can we count the number of times they actually made a joke that was relevant to him being Hitler?
No, I don't think very many at all.
I think there was one.
There was one that I actually thought was kind of good, where he's like, think happy thoughts, think happy thoughts. This is Hitler.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Poland, Sudetenland.
There's one part where
he historically conquered.
He, like, gets mad and heils the air with his hand and then sees he's being watched and just sort of turns it into a wave. That's about it.
I'm pretty sure that's been done to death, though.
I also hated the charade scene, though, because it doesn't even find humor in its own stuff, because because they're playing a game. It's like, all right, I can't tell you who's coming, but maybe we can play charades. And then here's what happens. They play charades, and then Rosa figures it out, and they don't mine it for comedy.
No. Ava swears her to secrecy. How do they swear? How do they swear in 1938 Germany? Why? With the Hitler salute, of course. Both of them heil each other. It was horrible to me that they made the Jewish character do the heil. I was...
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah. I shouldn't say the Jewish character either. Her husband is also Jewish, but...
Do you think there was a live audience?
Oh, yeah. There's a laugh track.
So, there were people there, living, real people, who were trapped there for take after take after take of this show.
I mean, I didn't hear the thing at the end saying, "How the bird was filmed in front of a live studio audience."
Yeah, I it probably wasn't because pilots need to be kept hush-hush. It was probably all canned, but still.
Somehow that's a relief.
But someone had to put those laughs and stuff in. Those are the cattle prods that they stick up the laughter anuses of America's American audiences.
You're drifting into the brothers' grunt here.
What? One mention of anus and we're in our second show?
To move forward in the story, Rosa gets it into her head that they're going to fix niece Ruth up with Neville Chamberlain. And so they decide to crash the Hitler's dinner party.
I think Hitler gets some drunk.
Hitler decides, Hitler decides to get them drunk so they can get sleepy and go home.
But they just become belligerent. So when Chamberlain shows up, and let me just stop to say, Neville Chamberlain's a delightful character.
He's the shining performance of the show.
He constantly cracks dumb, bad jokes.
Really? Like, sweet dad jokes.
Yeah, no. The first one didn't land, but by the third time he cracked one of those jokes, I was kind of chortling with him. He's a moron. But, like, a well-meaning moron. Yeah. And there's, like, kind of a political commentary in there.
Yeah, it's very much how Neville Chamberlain is perceived, honestly.
So that's it. There was something clever about him. Also, he didn't offend me to my soul.
Maybe because we're not British. I don't know. But... yeah, he's oblivious to the Third Reich. He literally makes a joke about how he thinks the parade of Aryan Hitler youth that greeted him at the airport was like a circus show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. It's kind of funny. It's a take on the historical figure of Neville Chamberlain about his appeasement of Hitler.
I suppose.
But yeah, that's really the long and short of it. So they show up. There's some antics. He actually is very amused by the drunken Goldensteins.
Yeah, and Hitler tries to fit in.
Wearing his sweater. He's now out of his normal spats and uniform, and he's wearing like a Cosby sweater.
And then some shit happens, and he chases all the Goldensteins out of his house in a rage.
Neville has come with a treaty?
Yes, he's come with the Peace in Our Time Accords. I forgive my American ignorance. I don't remember what this document
this was
actually
one of the
called.
Several, I believe it was one of the several documents where Hitler signed it and then immediately broke it.
Yes. So he's like, Hitler, you invaded Czechoslovakia, you naughty, naughty Hitler. Don't do that anymore. No more invasions, Hitler. And he's like, come on, it was just a little invasion. I'm just one of the guys. Again, normalizing his monstrousness.
If this were a 3-minute sketch, I think it would work.
Yeah, probably.
But as a full-length, multiple-episode television show?
Yeah.
No.
11 episodes were actually produced for this show.
But only one exists.
Only
right?
One ever aired.
This is the first time in our watching of shows that I am... brought joy to know that I cannot be made to watch more of this show.
Yeah. Except for that animated intro that we found, too. There's a weird Bewitched-style animated intro, which maybe was used on episodes after the pilot, but...
perhaps it was made years later by a fan. That was a humor joke.
No. No, it was not. That was a nightmare scenario.
What happened?
So the big deal is that he presents Hitler with the document. Hitler, like, shoos him out of the kitchen and then hides it in the icebox. Then a drunken Arnie is, like, finding more things to eat and drink and, like, pulls out the document, which is a mess now. And Chamberlain's very upset with Hitler. Like, I can't believe you did that. And Hitler's like, would a naughty Hitler sign a document like this? And he just signs it and hands it back to him. And that's the end. And he kicks the Goldensteins out. I keep saying Rosenstein because her name is Rosa. But he kicks the Goldensteins out. But he forgets about Ruth. Because they brought Ruth over to fix up with Chamberlain, who seems kind of down with it.
Yeah, Chamberlain seemed okay with it. Ruth seemed terrified, though, which is really not okay.
It was weird. I didn't know how to read it. At first, she's very forward, because she's clearly been rehearsed into what she's supposed to say to Neville Chamberlain. You're like, you will pick me up at this time, at this place. I am not seeing you today. I'm seeing you Thursday. And then she's like running away from him at the end. When he's like, what restaurant would you like to go to, my dear? They did have a great exchange, which I really enjoyed. When she's sort of flirt at him-ing. She's like, would you like a lock of my hair for your wallet? And Chamberlain goes, seems like a fair trade.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny.
It's all buried underneath how profoundly upsetting her character is, though.
And the whole show. And in the end, the last line is like, I'm one slick Führer, or something like that.
And like laugh track and a freeze frame, slightly blurred. It felt like something that would be on the TV in Rick and Morty.
Yeah, just completely alien, doesn't work in our world.
Toad death. It isn't funny. It's just kind of surprising that it could exist. As I said, 3-minute sketch, and this would have carried some humor.
Yeah.
Because it would give you enough to know that this could never be real.
It's fine to have Hitler in comedy because mocking is how you take down evil.
Jojo Rabbit.
There you go.
Great movie.
The producers.
This is what this was, though. This felt exactly like the stage show they made in The Producers.
Yes.
Like, if they had made a TV show, like, at one point I turned to you and was like, is The Producers real? Is this a true story? Are we watching their scam?
I wonder if that's what it was. I wonder if Jeff Atkinson was just like, you know what? What if we pulled a fun one on them? What if we did The Producers? What if we have to take this network or else we'll never recoup the money? What if we do a sitcom about Hitler?
We can dream.
So, yes, I did have the distinct impression of being in the audience for Springtime for Hitler. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what those characters must have felt.
But without a turn to realizing it's funny, it just never became funny.
Right.
So the brothers grunt.
The brothers grunt.
Cool. I can put down the notebook I'm holding because I didn't write down a goddamn thing.
I wrote down one note about the brothers grunt. It's the only thing I said, and it was, ugh, look at them.
I wouldn't know how to take notes on this show because I would have to write down things about every image, every audio effect, pretty much every choice. There could be a paper written about it.
This was an exercise in revulsion.
It is gross. And that's its objective. It intends to be gross.
And, like, disgusting.
Rachel, if you're listening, you are right to quarantine yourself from The Brothers Grunt.
The Brothers Grunt is about 6 brothers who basically can't talk because they're too busy going, yeah,
yeah. They're in a constant state of straining against, like, all their muscles are working against each other at all times. Like, they are pale, they are full of veins, they're bulging eyes, and there's bloodshot, and they're yellow, and they're pale, and they're only wearing underwear, socks, and wingtip shoes.
You've said nothing about their veins. Tell me about their veins.
They have veins fucking everywhere. Especially in their nipples.
They have a halo of veins. They come off their body and fill the air around them.
Their veins are characters.
And so the 6 brothers are all named after the Rat Pack. Ugh. Except for one, whose name is Perry. After Perry Como. Mm. They seem to live in a toilet sewer. It's like shit.
No.
On the walls.
I think I know where they live.
Where
they
do
live,
they live?
Like, in the series of tubes. Because they travel by tube. And I think they, like, live in, like, the spaces between the walls and like in the static of the television.
What?
That's the impression I got. Because they travel by tube.
That's like way more interesting.
One of the characters comes out of like a power cable, doesn't he?
But then they can also travel by being peed out by other characters.
That's a tube.
It is a tube.
They don't. Yeah. No, he comes out. He comes out of the beer tap. Is drunk by the man.
He comes out of the beer tap and is mashed into a gross glass surrounded by bugs.
We're not going to be describing much narrative with this. We're going to be describing images and moments and sound effects.
A horrifying pygmy man in a suit grabs the cup, drinks him in one gulp, belches violently, possibly vomits, stands up and goes to the bathroom where he pisses this particular brother out.
Without difficulty, thank God. But at the same time, it was abrupt.
So there's a tenuous plot, which is all the brothers are looking for their brother Perry, who is the chosen one and gets flushed down the golden toilet and escapes into our world. You hear that and you think you may be hearing a narrative, but you're not, because it's really just scenes of strange straining. There's a narrator who kind of keeps you like in focus as to what is going on.
He gives you context. He's like this really fat guy.
He has a martini, and one of his eyes isn't in his body. It rolls around his face.
Yeah, it's a false eye.
And just, it orbits his socket.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
I'm going to call him the Grand Poobah. I think that's his name. The Poobah talks in English. They don't sync his lips. He just sort of smacks them around like an old cow. And like his tongue comes out and like he talks about ceremony.
Can I ask real quick, I didn't do much research. I looked up a couple of facts. Do you have much context for when this happened and where and like why?
Yes, I do. The Brothers Grunt started as a 30-second promo for MTV where the Grunt brothers, they grunt and strain
right.
until they shit out the MTV logo, basically.
Okay, that sounds like a fine 90s 30-second promo, and MTV, we don't need any more.
MTV decided that they wanted a whole show of this. It was created by a guy named Danny Antonucci, who would later go on to make the Cartoon Network show Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
Oh my God.
That's the one thing I knew.
Which I always hated.
Oh, it's so similar. It's similar in its baseness.
I never liked Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
Because it's base.
It's like...
It's just so...
The other...
guttural.
The other thing I noticed during my 9 seconds of research was that this came out a year after Beavis and Butthead. Oh. Beavis and Butthead had a nice device where clearly MTV wanted to showcase its music videos. So they had a nice little thing where Beavis and Butthead would have a narrative and then they would watch actual videos that were airing and make jokes, and it's kind of fun. We also have... music videos worked into this show less organically.
They just happen.
And sometimes the brothers will appear in front of them to do things like this. And also...
and...
that was better. That was more accurate. So what were you going to say about the first episode?
In the first episode, they're at their like coming of age ceremony or something. And... they give them disgusting things as treatment.
They rub a duck on them.
That's the big finale. First, they apply hemorrhoid cream to them all. Then they make them drink eau de toilette, which is what all the martinis are made of, which is just eau de toilette. And then they have them eat retin tablets, which I think you're not supposed to eat. I don't remember what those are exactly. But yes, then they pull out the duck. The duck comes out and they rub its ass on their heads. And it's just like... they just shake it. And then Perry, for some reason, is just like... Black! And the duck goes... And there's just this explosion of noise. And they decide, and apparently that decided that Perry is the chosen one and like their new leader. And there's hundreds of these weird, pale, veinous grunt men, like watching this.
They have an orgy party.
Oh my God, yes, they celebrate. I've
been waiting for this to be mentioned.
They celebrate. And this is what Tachi was talking about when he was saying that every frame of this is designed for maximum revulsion.
As the camera pans through the party, we get treated to images of them leaning in an ass-to-mouth position.
They are literally eating each other's asses.
It's just a, it's not something we focus on in the narrative. We just, it's just a nice little detail for
you
to catch.
Did you notice the guy in the background who's using like two claws to just pull on someone else's nipples?
I missed that. Oh, see?
Or the guys who are drinking each other's vomit back and forth?
I do, yes, I did see that.
Oh my God, what? All I remember is the man who is being inflated by another man to be like a human, like Macy's Day Parade float.
Yeah, and I remember this was a different episode, but the man in the bar who would chug his drink, then puke it back out, then chug it back, then puke it back out, then chug and puke.
There is so much puking. There is so much puking in this show. It is the most puking I have ever seen in a condensed period of time like that.
There's also a trio of these grunt men twirling around in a giant six-legged pair of underwear in like a bizarre merry-go-round. I don't know what
well,
it was.
Well, I mean, we see where the grunt men come from.
Oh my like God, grunt, I forgot!
A grunt harvester.
Oh God!
Walks along the fleshy world of grunt babies and pokes his fucking hoe into the ground and lifts up the gross, veinous, cracked flesh ground. And there's six gross, dripping, shrieking grunt babies already tense.
So, this is flesh. This is a floating ball of just obesity.
Okay, guys, I don't think we can keep describing how gross this show is anymore, or we're going to drive away our viewers. This show is going to get into our show with how gross it is.
I don't know. I'm feeling, as we're doing this, I'm feeling like maybe this show is just the wrong medium. Maybe a radio play is how this should have been.
A radio play of the Brothers Grunt would just be
my balls. Rachel, you're so sad you're missing this.
So just to run through some other plot lines, one of them that goes to jail where the there's an inmate who's really obsessed with dental hygiene and mouth rapes him with dental hygiene. There's the one where the guy gets kidnapped by bikers, and then the bikers just fight and drink and fight and drink and fight and drink and fight and drink, and then there's a dog that licks its balls, and then he leaves.
And somewhere in there, the Ace of Base video for The Sign plays.
Yeah.
And that's it, though. There's the one where he's in, is it Vegas, where a guy pees one of the brothers out?
That was the second episode, Make Mine Grunt.
The grunts enter our world searching for their brother, always in the grossest possible, like tits first, out of like a bag of popcorn an old lady's using to
They have distended nipples. All of them. All of
them. And we can't describe how gross this is, guys.
We have to give context for the nipples. Nipples are a very crucial part of the show. So
there's nothing to summarize about Brothers Grunt. We've said it all. It's just gross all the time. It is a visual overload of grossness. There's so much gross going on at any given second. You can't even process how gross the background art is. Or the faces. Or the recurring cast. Because they always reuse the same characters over and over again.
Yeah.
And they're always disgusting looking.
They didn't invent too many characters. I cracked up, though, in the second episode. Mm-hmm. Because the grunt that comes out is peed out into in a karaoke bar. And he realized, and I forget why, but he decides to go up and sing karaoke. What he ends up doing is deep-throating the mic, the entire stand, while the song in the background is I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. Mm-hmm. And that juxtaposition was great. I think we all enjoyed that.
That's
moment.
The thing about this show. It's funny at times. It's not consistently funny, but it is funny, and the overload of gross does eventually get to you and make you laugh.
We ended up watching 5 segments of the show, and each episode was apparently split up into several segments that aired throughout the week on MTV. But by the end, we were done.
Yeah, because I was definitely like, I could watch another, and then when it was over, I was like, I'm done with this.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched three of them, and everyone unanimously agreed we could go one more.
Yeah.
And we went two more.
We went two more.
So, somehow the Brothers Grunt has a certain mesmerizing quality.
Yeah, it's arresting. The closest thing I can compare it to, fair listeners, is Tim and Eric Awesome Show Good Job. And I don't mean that as a slight to Tim and Eric Awesome Show Good Job. I actually have a lot of respect for that show. I don't personally like it.
It reminded me a lot more of Super Jail.
Super Jail has that same frenetic energy to it. But whereas Super Jail is super violent, ultra violent even, this is ultra disgusting.
Right, but it's still comparable.
Yeah.
Super Jail is as violent as you can possibly go. And as a result, kind of, like, crosses the line to which the violence is meaningless.
Yes.
This is as disgusting as you can possibly go. And it turns out there's no limit to how gross you can be.
Yeah.
The thing I would compare it to is a visit to the proctologist.
Go on.
Oh, okay. So everyone should do it at some point in their life, they recommend. Get an examination and they go in there and you're like, well, this is important. This needs to happen. And then something goes in there and you're like, oh, I don't like it. I want it to be over. That's what I would compare it to.
An important thing that should happen to everyone once in their life, at least.
Yes.
More often if they're over 50.
More often if they're over 50. You should all be watching The Brothers Grunt and see the proctologist.
So if you had to choose between seeing more of The Brothers Grunt and going to the proctologist, say you have to watch the rest of The Brothers Grunt.
Well, I will choose the proctologist because... get yourself checked, everyone.
Wow. There you go.
You're weirdly pushy about this. I've never known you, Tashi, to be one who was so outspoken about medical examination.
About rectal health.
I don't bring it up a lot in conversation, but since we're talking about the Brothers Grunt and that's less exciting for me, go to the doctor.
I'm afraid the Brothers Grunt has affected you.
It was, you know, when old people are talking about new music and they're like, that's not music, it's just noise. It's just noise. That is a bit like watching this. It's just noises and sound. I'm sad that I never quite got the moment that both of you got tonight where you just snapped and started hysterically laughing. That never happened to me. I went somewhere darker.
Where did you go, Tachi?
The proctologist.
Tachi, if you have an in with the American Proctology Association, I want a cut of that sweet, sweet ass money.
Anyway. Heil Honey, I'm Home, or The Brothers Grunt, which would you watch more of?
More of?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't, thankfully, watch more of Heil Honey, I'm Home.
If you could.
Okay, so I will tell you, in my research for Heil Honey, I'm Home, future episodes involve other world leaders like Joseph Stalin... and I think Goebbels shows up. Hermann Göring, I think, shows up. Stalin's the only one I'd be interested in anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Hitler show is amusing in any way. I actually have very vague memories of the Brothers Grunt from when I was in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And we had like a black box cable set and we would get MTV. And like I remember a show about people that lived in hell... And they like traveled the world via toilet, and that was it. And basically, that's the show. Like they are disgusting, and they travel via toilet.
But it's better than Heil Honey.
I would say it is preferable to Heil Honey, I'm Home, because it's shorter, and the juxtaposition with the music videos can often be jarring enough to be funny.
Oh yeah.
The first episode has Falco's German version of Amadeus. But intercut with just the grunting of the grunts.
Oh, can I tell you?
Yeah.
I had no idea it was intercut with music videos. So when Amadeus started, I lost it.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
It was. I'm fully on board with the Brothers Grunt is watchable because one, they're 5 minutes long and that 5 minutes is cut up by at least one music video.
Yeah.
And the other thing it had going for it was that while it is appallingly gross... it does give it a suspenseful quality. Like, I was always in suspense as to how stupidly gross it was going to be at any given second.
Yeah, and but you were the one in peril.
I know, but me being in peril was still better than watching my soul slowly die.
Yeah.
While Hitler was applauded over and over again by a canned studio audience.
I don't think we mentioned that when he finally boots the drunken Goldensteins out of his apartment, he's given the big triumphant, like, yay!
Yeah, he kicked out the Jews.
So he kicked out the Jews. Heil, Honey, I Home is deplorable.
Is it the worst thing we've ever seen?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. We have to compare it to The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer. We have to ask ourselves, like, they're both historical-ish sitcoms. For those of you who aren't familiar, The Secret Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer is the worst show we've ever seen. It is about Abraham Lincoln's secret black butler, played by Chi McBride. And while you might think it's racist, it's actually incredibly misogynistic. Really just mean-spirited all around.
But Heil, Honey was probably at least as mean-spirited. Like, and had fewer good jokes.
Heil, Honey is worse for humanity.
Uh-huh.
Desmond Pfeiffer is at the bottom of lowest common denominator status quo comedy. Heil, Honey, I'm Home was breaking new ground in just human awfulness.
I feel like we need to allow Desmond Pfeiffer to retain its shameful crown, but there's like an asterisk here, because we only can see one episode of Heil, Honey, I'm
Yeah, home. It's actively normalizing Hitler and, like, the Third Reich and shit. So it's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst. Like, but if you want to watch something that's cringy bad, that's the worst. That's Desmond Pfeiffer.
I would agree.
I never want to see Heil, Honey, I'm Home again. I never want to hear about it. I never want to...
Yeah, like, if in 3 months you're like, let's put on Brothers Grunt, I can be fooled into another 15 minutes.
I might even watch that final episode of Desmond Pfeiffer we have lying out there.
Uh-huh.
There's one more episode of Desmond Pfeiffer. I would watch Desmond Pfeiffer over any additional Heil, Honey, I'm Home. I think.
Mm-hmm. I think we might be forgetting how unpleasant Desmond Pfeiffer was.
Sure. This happens with time.
It's blunting how awful it was, because I'm already remembering Cop Rock kind of fondly, and I know in the moment I was not fond of Cop Rock.
And we are still possibly Stockholm syndromed into loving Cleopatra 2525, which was our first series, and check it out if you haven't already.
Oh, that's not even close to the bottom. Cleopatra is charming schlock now.
Yes. It is. I listened to us talk about Cleopatra 2525, and because it's so batshit, like, when we talk about it, it sounds awesome.
Alex.
Yes.
As a student of animation.
Yes.
Is The Brothers Grunt the worst animated thing you've ever seen?
Absolutely not.
No.
I'm talking purely in animation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hand animation, a lot of active moving. The backgrounds are basic and cartoonish, but serve their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The characters' movements are repetitive, but the jerkiness of their movement works with the show. It's not static animation. It's not Hanna-Barbera.
You're right.
Which looks way worse than The Brothers Grunt. Like, a bit of money actually went into making The Brothers Grunt be as visceral as it is through movement.
I feel they accomplished what they were trying to with the animation.
They had a vision and they got it, I think. And that's actually what Danny Antonucci has said about it, which is that, like, he made the show he wanted to make, and he made 12 episodes of it, but they only aired 9. So that I think says it all. But he's pleased with it. He said he had a good time, which I'm glad somebody did. You at one point, Alex, were saying that you felt bad for the animators of this show, though.
Oh, yeah, because they had to look at that gross shit. They had to do it by hand. They had to think in their head the shape this guy makes when you pull him by his nipples out of a compressed air machine. I feel bad for everyone at the production.
Rachel, if you're out there, please come back. We make poor decisions without you. As we retire for the evening to undoubtedly experience a fresh batch of nightmares, we want to thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Tell a friend about our media masochism and leave us a rating. We'd also love to hear from you. If you have a show to suggest to us or want to defend Ed, and Eddie, you can email us at worstshowonearth@gmail.com. Tachi, would you care to plug your Instagram?
Oh, that's right. I am on Instagram. It is MichaelTachi1. So that's MichaelTochi1, the number.
If you want even more of our antics, Alex, Tachi, and myself can be found on the Scabby Rooster Twitch channel on our RPG live stream, The Demi Dozen. We play a game called Scion, where the players are the chosen of the gods of old, causing a ruckus in modern times. Join us for some mythical mayhem, Sundays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Rachel is also in a podcast called Tales of the Extraordinary, which you can check out wherever fine podcasts are distributed. And until next time, enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is. I might have to rethink this ending tagline from now on. I don't know. Let me tell you about six.
Simple, relaxed, and fun till Perry became the chosen one. Chosen one, he's the brother named Perry. Oh, he freaks, he blows the monastery. Story of the brothers grunt. Ooh, they're always out on the hunt. Yeah, out of their minds. Oh, indeed they are, trying to find.